Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Tyler breaks down and Jimmy leaves him. Thanks, buddy. Today's episode of Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to your ear holes by
Sneedy's Off-Road is your number one source for custom and aftermarket products for your 4x4, ATV, and side-by-sides. Quality parts that don't break your bank. If we don't have what you're looking for, we'll get it. Sneedy's Off-Road. The trail starts here.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, ranching on Toyotas, and maybe even poking a lot of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome Tacoma takeovers are, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, folks. Happy holidays. Very merry happy holidays to everybody out there. I'm your co-host today, one of them, Tyler. And sitting here next to me is the one and only Mr. Jimmy Jett, the Tacoma takeover guru himself. No, that's not quite. You're like a mini Tacoma takeover.
I know.
Takeover.
Compared to those guys, Charlotte's tiny.
Oh, man. So, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. Life is going well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Nice.
Life is going fantastic. Do you have all your holiday shopping done?
No, not even close.
I'm about halfway done.
Maybe a tenth or 20%.
I just ordered your present this morning.
Ooh.
So,
I just thought this morning that I need to order you something.
Well, at least I'm being thought of.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll get you a can of like carb cleaner or something.
Oh, that's so sweet. So, yeah, we have the holidays coming up.
Yes, we do.
I've already had a couple of people contact about the gift guide.
Oh, yeah.
And saying it was really cool and it was awesome and saying thank you for putting that out there. Good ideas.
Great. Glad you guys liked it. I have 3 years of that now.
Oh, yeah? 3 years of gift guides?
Every year I've done one.
Nice.
So this was the third year that I did it on video.
Oh, nice.
So, I've been trying to do different topics every time.
Okay.
That's why I limited it to 4 or 5 items.
Okay.
Because the next year I want to do another 4 or 5 and have them be different than the previous year so that, you know, then we'll have 20 items that people can go back and look at, you know.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Very cool. So, yeah, gift guides are out. Make sure you guys check those or have your significant others check out that episode. I don't remember what episode it was. So, you have to go back and find it.
It was the one right before Thanksgiving. Or it was on Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving, yeah. So, yeah. Check that one out. Speaking of significant others, though, we have a 2-part episode that we're kind of sticking another episode in the middle of here. With the significant others.
Yep.
So if you happen to be skipping around episodes and land on this one before listening to Monday's episode this week, go check that one out. It's pretty funny. We're getting some interesting comments and feedback, some fun ones, from that episode. So we kind of left it in a little bit of a cliffhanger about, Jimmy and I just learned this last week that off-roading and camping are two completely different things.
Yeah.
So, you can...
It's funny how the opposite species mind works.
I know, right? it's funny. So we just learned that this week, and that's new news to us. So, go check that out. That was the first part, which is the camping side of things and how to get your significant others to go camping and what can you do to help ease them into camping with you. So check that one out. That was Monday's episode. If you happen to be jumping around and nitpicking episodes, and if you are, shame on you. Just kidding.
And then coming out this upcoming Monday is the second half of that, which is how did you get them to go four-wheeling? Since they wanted to talk about, they thought, you know, it's like, oh, let's go camping and let's go four-wheeling is two different things. We got to make two different lists.
Yeah.
So,
which we were not prepared for, but
yeah. And so, which was funny because I don't know if it came up in part 1 or part 2, But I told the assistant, I want to talk about, you know, taking her out camping and how to get, a you know, the ladies to go out camping. And Tyler over here told the secretary how to
how to do it off-roading.
So we had two different views and two different lists and a whole different setup. So
yeah,
that's the reason we split it up into two for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, check it out. That one's coming out on Monday. So that'll be another really fun one, especially because some of the topics we cover kind of gets everybody a little more, bit more comfortable with each other. And we start talking about some fun things and a lot of laughs are going around. So,
definitely, definitely.
Check that one out. Very entertaining, coming out Monday. This episode is coming into your ear holes on a Thursday, which is just kind of like updates, kind of what we've been up to and what are people, other people been up to. So, but before we get into all of that, because we did make a fun trip this weekend that we're going to tell you guys all about, we got to say thank you to everybody out there for supporting us. And, you know, hopefully you guys are getting the support right back. So,
definitely
this month, the giveaway tier, we don't have a giveaway just for the giveaway tier. We're doing a massive, massive giveaway. So far, we have 11 items, I think, total.
Sounds about right, yeah.
So 10, 11 items total so far, and we have more rolling in. We just had, I think, two or three more roll in this morning. So the cool thing about this is that, you know, we hit officially 10,000 subscribers on YouTube.
We did.
So we're officially over the 10,000 mark.
I have a fun bit of information for you in regards to that.
Oh, yeah?
Did you know that when the day we hit 10,000 subscribers on YouTube was the day we released episode 50?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't.
Did you notice that?
I did notice it, but I was really hoping that was going to happen because I was looking at the morning of and we were at like 9,996 or 95 or something like that. And I was like, oh, it's got to happen today. I remember I wrote an email to somebody, one of the vendors, asking for a donation for the giveaway and saying, hey, technically, as of when I'm sending this email, we haven't hit 10,000, but we're going to hit it today. So I'm hoping by the time you read it.
Right.
And so
I thought that was really cool. That was really neat. The same day. That's pretty neat.
So, yeah, we hit 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. We hit episode 50 on the podcast.
Yep.
And this is officially episode 51. And we already, for the month of December, we have some, I think, some pretty cool podcasts lined up. At least two more, I think, really good ones lined up for the month of December. And then we have a really cool one, another really cool one lined up for January, episode 60. So stay tuned for those. But it's really just awesome to see things rolling along the way they are.
Definitely.
And getting the support that we're getting from you guys, getting the feedback we're getting from you guys. Most of it's good. And we enjoy the bad stuff too, because that helps us learn what you guys are looking
for
and grow. So, yeah, we like it all. Send all the feedback in. We love it. But as for reaching this really cool milestone, we're going to throw a big party. And so we've talked about it a little bit on previous episodes. But right this episode, we want to talk a little bit more about it and go a little bit more in depth.
Yeah, we have a lot more solidified.
Yes,
now
we
than
do.
We kind of did before, where we had a lot of feelers out there and getting a lot of, you know, ideas of what we wanted to do and where we were going. But now we have, like, we actually have the location, we have a time, and we actually have a bunch of sponsors that have written in and said, yeah, we'll definitely donate.
Yeah. So it's looking, it's pretty exciting and, and cool to see how the party is coming along. And now that we're getting things solidified, getting things to commit towards it. So we have the party is going to be for sure at Fort Rock Brewing Co.
Yep.
Brewing Company. And that is on the corner of Hazel and Highway 50. Hazel and Folsom Boulevard. I'm not sure whether it's still officially listed in Rancho Cordova or Folsom.
I think it could be taken as either one. Yeah, I think it's Rancho.
Okay. So that was
when
make
I
sense.
Typed it into the location on the Instagram as where for like my post, it said Rancho.
It said Rancho Cordova. Yeah. Okay. I think I looked it up somewhere, and I remember it saying Folsom somewhere. So I don't know, whatever.
I think you were confused because it's on Folsom Boulevard.
Maybe that's what I saw, that it was on Folsom Boulevard. That would make a lot of sense. So anyways, Fort Rock Brewing Company in Rancho Cordova on the corner of Hazel and Folsom Boulevard. for sure the festivities are going to kick off at 2 p.m. on January 4th coming up here. So if you're in the area, if you're not in the area, or if you're in another dimension, we'd love to see you show up and, and hang out and have a good time. We are getting things. So not only are we getting big vendors stepping up, we're getting really cool local vendors stepping up as well.
Definitely.
And so what we're going to be doing is for the local vendors that kind of only service the local region of kind of Sacramento, Northern California area, we're going to do those prizes as door prizes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are local, if you are in the NorCal region, SoCal region, Central California, you know, over even in Nevada, Oregon, Utah areas, and you want to make the drive over, we're going to have a lot more door prizes as well for some more local stuff. So we're going to have some local door prizes. You have to be there at the party to win. And then we have the big giveaway drawing for stuff that you don't have to be present to win. So the way the drawing is going to work is we got found this really cool piece of software, and it's up on the website right now. So it's at snailtrail4x4.com/giveaway. And we'll also put that down in the show notes for you. So you don't have to remember it. You can just go to the show notes, click the link. But the way it works is you go in there and you follow, and it'll give you actions to do, right? Mm-hmm. And it'll tell you what prizes have been committed so far. And so as more prizes get committed, we will add more actions to the software, essentially. Definitely.
And one thing that I've been informed about on the software, which is called Gleam.io, is you actually have to like log in to Gleam.io to perform the actions.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you just show up, it tells you what they are. But if you click on an action, it asks you to log in.
Okay.
Sort of a thing. And you don't have to create an account. You just have to do your email and like your name and maybe one other thing.
Okay.
Right. And then you
can like
go down.
Birth date. And I tried to turn the birth date thing off, but it wouldn't let me for some reason.
Yeah. I think birthday's good because then I can send out more birthday cards.
That's true.
There you go. But then once you get into that, then you see this long list of action items, you know, click and follow people and things of that nature. And then, you know, we're giving like, you know, you click and follow Snail Trail 4x4, or if you already do follow Snail Trail 4x4 on Instagram, you gain an entry.
Yep.
Right. And then for the most part, we have a lot of single entries, but then for, if you're a patron or you sign up to be a patron, you're getting 10 entries.
10 extra entries. So, So the cool thing about that is that So if you go in and do it now, and then we add a few more prizes after you've gone and done it, you get to go back and you're going to have more actions to complete to gain more entries.
Definitely.
So make sure that you keep going and checking back on that as we add more prizes to it and as we get more vendors stepping up to be a part of the celebration.
Right. Yeah. And I know that we already have we've only talked about it once or shown a few times, you know, that where to go and what to do. And we already have something like 20 people entered.
Yep.
Just this morning, or even in the last hour or so, we added two or three more action items. So all those people that are already entered, you need to go back because now you have three more opportunities to put your name in the hat again.
Yep. So for more entries.
Just continue to go back, continue to check it out. You don't have to do everything again. You're just going to have to do the ones that have been added and are new.
Yeah.
So
the other thing that you can do if you don't want to keep going back and checking, I would highly recommend doing that just so you don't forget. But we will be closing entries on January either 2nd or 3rd. 3rd is, I think, when we have a set to close. So you can go in on January 2nd and do all the entries. That way you don't have to keep coming back. But I would recommend just with the holidays and New Year's and everything going on to keep checking on it. That way you don't get left out.
Definitely.
So, so that's how the entries are going to work. And let's see what else.
Shall we run down a short list of, the quick list of who's already in?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it. So far, we have Morphlate, of course.
Shocking.
So, I know, right?
That's probably like the most desired thing. I know, right? Out of everybody, though, right? I mean, that's what everybody's going to want.
Yeah, of course. Sure. That's what I would want. So we have More Flate. We have Sneevee's Off Road donated some LED lights from their Highlander line. Oh, by the way, Sneevee's. So I'm just going to throw this in here quick. So hopefully you guys are checking it out, paying attention. But they're running a tire and wheel sale for Christmas.
Ooh.
Just through Snail Trail 4x4.
Oh,
so
sweet.
You can go and get, if you needed a new set of tires, looking at a new set of wheels or something for Christmas, you can go and put in a Snail Trail 4x420. No, Snail Trail 20. That's what it is. So Snail Trail 20, and you'll get $20 off every single tire and wheel that you purchase. So on a set of tires or a set of wheels, that's an extra $100 off.
Nice.
And the BFGs automatically come with free shipping, so you're saving the shipping. And $100 off a set of wheels or tires, so...
That's pretty sweet.
So it's BFG, Maxxis, Race Lines, and Dirty Life.
Ooh.
Are the stuff that's on sale there. So, thought I would throw that in there while we're going over the list real quick.
Thanks.
And hit Sneevee's.
Awesome, Steve. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Gear Wrench. We have... Gear Wrench is donating an LED work light, which is a really cool one that Jimmy and I use all the time.
All the time.
It's the most one of the most used tools in the shop.
Did you know that it has a hook on it?
I didn't
either. And
really?
My brother, we were working on my brother's Honda, and he like flipped it open and hung it from his rearview mirror.
Oh,
I was like, what? Where did that come from? So not only does it have a magnetic base, but it has a hook.
Oh, that's
built
cool.
Into it as well.
Mine does. I know mine has a hook, but my magnetic base is like on the hook.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's all in one. It's a magnetic hook, pretty much.
Right. That's pretty neat. They're also donating bolt biters, a bolt biter set.
A bolt biter set, which is an awesome set if you work on old Toyotas, especially. So... that's huge. Thank you, Gear Wrench. Those will both be in the drawing. We have Power Tank. Power Tank stepped up, and they're doing a tire inflator as well as a blowgun kit.
That's so pretty cool.
That'll be really cool. So if you have a power tank or system, those are great to work with for various work projects. Projects, that's the word I'm looking for.
Like, where are you going with this? We have Rough Stuff.
Rough Stuff is also in. They are donating a couple of diff covers.
Yeah.
So we've got that. We
for
have
you big axle boys.
For you, yeah, you big boys. We've got Laminix.
Mm-hmm.
Laminix is donating.
They're donating a gift card so that we can
gift card, that's right.
So that you can pick and choose what application you want to get for your rig.
Cool.
Whether, you know, they make headlight covers or door trim covers or, you know, the handle protectors and things of that nature, of different shades and colors and even clearer so that you can be stealthy.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then we also have Taco Vinyl.
Yep. Taco Vinyl is going to be donating a badge for your front grill that's going to be some based on either colors or some sort of Toyota emblem or TRD logo. I'm not quite sure which one he's going to be sending us. And then like a vinyl sticker package for some different places, different colors and different things for you to put on your rig.
So, very cool.
Yeah. All Toyota based for the most part there.
Nice. As it should be. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, we got one of our patrons to swap over to the dark side here.
I know. I know. How fun is that?
He sold his Jeep and bought a first gen 4Runner. Attaboy. So, yeah, when he posted that on the Facebook page, I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
We converted one more over.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, I think that's it so far. We have also gotten, Freedom Ropes is going to be donating something. We haven't confirmed what they're donating, but it's looking like it's going to be something fun.
And then we have a few little small door prizes for you guys. Those that show up from like LED lights to possibly a powder coating option to maybe some other swag one way or another. So
that's what we have so far. So as we start adding more vendors, as we keep adding more stuff to the giveaway, we'll keep letting you guys know via social media and podcast. And we'll try and get a video out as well about everything too. So... there's that. A couple more things about the party. So, if weather permits and weather holds out, Our plan is to go out to Prairie City in the morning of January 4th. So like around 10 a.m. or so, mid-morning, yeah. 9 to 10 a.m., somewhere around there, and play around at Prairie City with you guys.
Yep.
So anybody that wants to come out to Prairie City SVRA in Rancho Cordova, you can come on out. And we're going to play around out there for a while, a few hours before heading over to the brewery.
Mm-hmm. Tyler and I will probably have to take off a little early just to go mm-hmm. set some stuff up at the brewery. But, mm-hmm. you know, you guys can stay and play for a while and
yeah.
meet us over there sometime between 2 and 3.
Yeah,
whatever,
sometime around there.
I think we have tentatively to do some of the drawing at like 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, nothing at the brewery is technically set in stone. You know,
yeah.
hopefully it'll be kind of a car show. You know, show up, park yep. your rig, walk around in the parking lot. They've got a pretty big parking lot.
Yeah, they do.
So, and that's one of the reasons that we chose it is so that we can kind of do a off-roading, you know, slash overlanding slash rock landing car show.
Yeah.
Check everybody's rigs out and have a few beers and relax and hang out. So, uh-huh. Yeah.
And then another cool thing that we just kind of got confirmed is that a percentage of the beer sales
mm-hmm.
From the party at Fort Rock are going to be donated to Corva.
Yes.
So that's another really cool thing that we were able to start working out here and get solidified. So show up, drink lots of beer. If you're in that gift box tier on Patreon, we owe you a beer,
mm-hmm.
at least one. And then, percentage of all the sales, all the alcohol beer sales from the party that day are going to go over to Corva.
Yeah, that's
which
really
cool. Which is pretty cool, pretty rad. So
we also had a listener reach out to us and one of our patrons, and he had a suggestion for an actual raffle prize. And so I just kind of wanted to express or extend that idea out to other people out there that if, you know, the business you work for or possibly own might be a good opportunity for you guys to get your name out there, get into this mm-hmm. Raffle giveaway item. You know, if you guys have something that would work for you and for us, I think it'd be a cool fit.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, just get in contact with us about that. And we'll get you set up on either the big celebration, the big giveaway, or as door prizes, depending on if you're local or if you're a little bit more, you know, multiple state or national, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's turning out to be really cool. There's a lot of excitement and buzz being built around it. We're already hearing from a lot of you guys saying that you're going to be there and showing up.
Yeah.
So it's sounding like it's going to be, you know, anywhere from 50 to 100 people, just from kind of what we heard right now so far in the past week.
I'm guessing that it's
going to
be about 50 to 100 rigs.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, too. I think
which
it's going to be...
I think it would be more people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, and we've only been talking about it for like a couple of weeks now. So I think as it gets closer, people will, and more people start hearing it and catching up to the episodes on the podcast, we'll start getting more attention here and we'll start hearing from more people. So, I think that does it for the party updates.
Yes.
So far.
Yeah. I think that was a good description of everything that's kind of going on. Just make sure to keep your calendars open. January 4th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come play with us out at Prairie City if it's not raining, or come and have a beer with us and,
mm-hmm.
Talk about randomness.
Yeah. So it should be a lot of fun. Put it on your calendars and make sure you get out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have one guy coming in from Kansas City, so he'll be there.
That's so crazy.
I still think that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's
and I know
super
we
cool.
have some people coming up from the Central Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I know that, some people are coming up from the Bay Area and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so yeah, it's going to be a good turnout.
Yeah.
It
should be a lot of fun. So yeah, all that just kind of goes back to you guys and all the listeners out there and
mm-hmm.
making it exciting and possible to continue, keep doing all this cool stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah. And thank you guys.
I hope my goal is for the patrons to win most of the swag.
That would be really cool. Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're trying to give you guys a leg up because you guys are here and supporting us, you know. And so, you know, you can always get that leg up if you go and subscribe to Patreon.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, if you already are a patron, all you have to do is check in and you automatically get those 10 points.
Yeah,
or 10
the extra 10 entries that other people won't get. So, I think that's it, right? Any other updates on that side? Do we want to tease Samantha at all, or?
I mean, we can tease it. I don't know where we're going there.
Samantha.
Yeah.
Next.
Samantha's in the process of going to get smogged soon.
Very cool.
And I'm excited. I think I've talked about it in the past, but Samantha's actually not in my name yet. And I had to get it. When I got it, it had this fiasco of the owner, like, not writing me a correct bill of sale and then not getting back to me and letting me get the proper bill of sale.
Uh-huh.
It was stupid. His son sold it. The owner's son sold it to me. And so the son wrote his name on the bill of sale. And since the son didn't own it when he sold it to me, it technically didn't sell it to me.
Yeah.
Right. But I tried to get a hold of the owner, the dad, and say, hey, I need this. And I never got a hold of him. Like, he never called me back, anything. So I had it lean to. I have a friend that runs a towing company. And so I said, hey, I need to do a lean to sale. And we did it. We were able to go through that process.
Wow.
And that took a while. And so, unfortunately, because of all that, I had to base some small back fees.
Yeah.
On registration, because it wasn't mine. They're not paying it. I'm not getting any of the information.
Uh-huh.
So I went to DMV and went through the process of getting it, going through the lien sale, paying back registration, paying everything off. And now, and all that needs to happen is it needs to get smogged to become in my name. And once it's in my name, then we can start cutting it up.
Let's get the party started.
So, hopefully, my goal is to try to get it into smog on Friday.
Cool.
So we'll see.
So a few days away, and then we'll get to see. We'll have to build a plan. Well, we kind of already have a plan,
kind of
for Samantha,
plan.
At least a starting plan. So we'll see if it stays that way.
Stage one.
Yeah. So that'll be really fun. Once Samantha is smogged, we're gonna dig into her and have some fun building her up. And I think we'll be able to shoot some really cool videos about the progress and the storyline.
Yeah.
Once we get it going. So. Pay attention, watch out for those on the YouTube side of things for Samantha being built. Did you have any other videos? Excuse me. Any other videos come out recently?
I had a GFC rooftop tent come out on the 4Runner, and video has been doing really good. And the DMM from Taco Garage, the dash multi-mount video is coming out.
Oh, nice.
Technically, for when we're recording this, it's coming out later today. But for you guys listening, it's already out. And that's a really cool system for the Tacoma that is a dash mount, allows you to put like RAM mount balls and things of that nature on there. And it's super streamlined, really low key. And if you remove one of the things I really like, if you remove all the mounting, you wouldn't even notice for the most part that you have a mounting system.
If you take all your balls off the dash?
If you take your balls off the dash, then it looks like your balls were never there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's always a good thing to be able to have removable balls.
Mm-hmm.
So in case you get into a situation where you need your balls removed.
Right.
So.
Yeah. What I like about it is like you can, if you did clean off your dash, you know, it would be, and you were in like a, let's say you're down in Mexico or somewhere that, you know, you're concerned about theft.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or anywhere else in California that you're concerned about theft. You know, if you just took those things off really quick, it would appear as if you never had them on there.
Oh, nice.
You know, whereas if you have some of the other styles that are like elevated and like specifically designed to have multiple mounting positions with, you know, random angles and things like this, which is cool and all. But if you take them off, then you still have this big chunky metal thing on your dash.
Yeah.
Where this one's low key with 7 mounting positions or something like that.
It's pretty nice. It's really, really nice. Slick. I've gotten to see how you have a couple of things situated on it and what it looks like when you have them situated and when nothing's on it. It literally does, like you said. It looks like you can literally take the mounting balls and everything off and call it good.
Yeah, it's super clean. It's a really nice system, and I'm stoked that I get to show it off on the YouTube page. It's from the_taco_garage on Instagram, so check him out. He's got some cool things.
Yeah, he does, because you're getting those mirror lights. What are they called? Are they from him or
the blinkers?
Yeah,
the little puddle lights.
Yes, those.
No,
things.
Those are from Miso Customs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have those too. I'm considering talking to Miso Customs and seeing if he wants to enter some stuff in the raffle or the giveaway as well.
Those are really cool, because when I was out at Baja. And airing up at nighttime sometimes, I had to turn on my rock lights in order to get any light and see.
Oh, yeah.
And it'd be nice to just kind of have those puddle lights instead.
yeah,
for a little bit of light out there rather than, you know, flooding the area
yeah,
you know, with the rock lights. So
yeah, it's funny how the, I mean, just the Taco, the Charlotte is definitely being a lights before lockers sort of vehicle.
I wasn't gonna say anything but you know,
I have a light bar. I'm not sure if I'm gonna put it on yet or what's going on with it. I just got those new, which we'll talk about in the future. I won some ditch like style lights.
Oh, the Baja Design, the Sport 2s or whatever they're called?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I wasn't going to say it, but.
Oh, that's right. We can just edit that out. No one's listening anyways. Right. It's okay.
and then I have rock lights and, well, I don't have rock lights for Samantha, but I have a lot of different ideas. Well, the puddle lights, I have the dash, mm-hmm. I have the new grill that has lights in it. You know, it's like. Oh man, where am I going? I'm almost thinking that I need to cut, like, I need to remove some of it. You know, it's like, it's
almost
overkill.
Let's just add more and more lights to it and be that overkill guy. Be the overkill light vehicle at SEMA next year.
Yeah. How many light bars can you fit on your Tacoma?
Yeah. Oh man. But,
yeah, I definitely, I'm not sure what direction I'm going to be going with Samantha yet. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's just a daily commuter, and for the most part, Charlotte, yeah. Sorry, did I say?
You said Samantha.
Oh, sorry.
See, this is what happens when you have too many kids, Jimmy. You start confusing them, and then you're talking about one kid when you meet another kid.
Right.
And then you lose a kid at the fair, and then you don't even notice. So,
yeah.
Or you leave a kid in your back seat when you go grocery shopping.
Right. Yeah. But Charlotte is, right now it's a daily commuter, so, and it gets decent gas mileage for what it is.
Yeah.
And, so I don't know. I mean, I do want to lift it and go in that direction. I don't know how big, how extreme, what I'm going to do if I'm going step by step.
Marlon. Marlon, if you're listening, Mike, you're listening, return some emails, buddy. Anyways, continue.
Moving on.
What were you saying?
Well, that's about it. I mean, those were the video updates.
Yeah.
So I've got some things planned with Brandon and Trail 4R. We got some cool things coming up in the line there. We got cool things coming up with Samantha.
Yeah. Why haven't you done anything with Trail 4R in a while? I know why. You can say it. Go ahead.
Because there's a first gen 4Runner in the bay.
Whoopsies.
Since September sometime.
Whoopsie.
And then there's a little, I'm trying to actually, I've been, because of this actual situation that's going on where the first gen needs parts and sitting there, and we do like once a week work on it for a little bit, but don't really work on it
enough to finish it out of there.
I'm working in, I kind of have another bay, which has been like a sort of a stepping yard,
not really a storage. It's almost like turned into a little workstation for a little working bay for to clean parts.
Staging. That's
parts.
That's what I was looking for. It's sort of a staging area for what's happening in the main bay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because the main bay is taken up, I'm having to use the staging area to work on other rigs. And it's tight. It's narrow. It doesn't, like, there's things going on. So actually, the silver lining along this is that I'm trying to figure out a way to make the staging area more usable.
More bigger.
More usable so that we can do work on it. Because if I'm going to be working on Samantha, like, for a month straight, if not longer, and having it ripped apart and not able to come in and out of the shop, I then can't work on anybody else's rigs.
Yeah.
Because I don't really have another spot. So I need to make another spot.
Yeah. No, I think that, we talked about it. I think where the goal is to get the first gen finished up next week.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I have almost all the parts accumulated. So once we get all the parts, I literally think we can knock it out in 1 to 2 days for what's left. So we haven't really covered you and Hussman came in and Hussey came in and helped and put the transmission and reduction box and transfer case back under the first gen.
Yep.
And then you got the shifters all set up.
Yep.
So really all that's left with the first gen is the steering, rear shocks and brakes.
Yeah.
And
for the most part.
New front brake lines, the rear brake lines are all there set. We just need to figure out if we're going to connect or what we're going to do with the e-brake. And then, but everything else, I mean, those three
Shall
things
we talk
is really
about the steering real quick.
No, I don't want to. I mean, the steering, so I messed up the steering. I was trying to
Well, the thing was that when we originally moved over the... When we put your first-gen axle under the second-gen rig, we left the tie rod ends and steering setup in there.
Correct.
And we wanted to run tie rod ends. But your rig had Himes before, so it had... There wasn't a taper in your steering arms.
Correct.
And the steering arms that you have an additional bolt. So it's a 5-bolt setup. Mm-hmm. So they're stronger than the 4-bolt setups that were on the second gen's axles.
Mm-hmm.
So you went back to the Himes.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, you had drilled out one of the steering arms
to fit the Himes. That I eventually ended up putting over on the second gen.
So now we have a drilled out hole in one of the steering arms to fit a Himes. And it doesn't have a taper.
Correct.
So we're left with drill the other ones out to fit Himes and then buy Himes setup.
Buy new Himes and build new steering tie rod and drag link.
Yep. Or drill them out, drill the other side out and go to a GM tie rod end.
Yeah.
And then buy the tapered inserts and then go to a bigger, buy a whole new tie rod, make a new tie rod, right? Or the solution that I think we're going is just buy new arms.
Yeah. So that's the way we're going. We're buying new high steer arms.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to get just one and they were like, LOL, you're funny.
So I had to buy them in a set.
I don't know. That's just the way they sell them as a set. They sell them as a set.
They make them probably as one at a time.
Yeah.
But
anyway, so I had to buy a set. So we'll have a spare steering arm to sell with the first gen as it goes. So we're getting new steering arms for it, new shocks, new front brake lines, and a spool. Oh, we have to do a spool in the front.
Mm-hmm.
So just to make it turnkey so that whoever buys it can literally take it from picking it up and going straight to the Rubicon and run the Rubicon with it. That's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to build it turnkey. And I think that we'll be able to finish that up next week because I should have all the parts accumulated as of Friday. So
yeah.
So hopefully we'll get that out of there and then we'll get to rearrange the shop.
Yeah. I think really hefty shelves and we can clean up the shop a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I've already, because of the silver lining situation, I've thought of slightly how to do some rearranging to make things fit a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest problems is that I just have too much crap in that shop.
Yeah.
And it limits me to getting back to the shelves.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times I have to put something on the shelf, but I can't access the shelf because there's stuff in the front of it. And so then I just put it on the floor and then that creeps further and further and further towards the rigs.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not the way it should be done. I need to make sure that I can access the shelving that's back there.
Yeah. So I think a little bit of rearranging, I think we'll be able to reorganize the shelving and get the beefier shelvings put up and then make a little bit more use out of the shelving back in the corner where the welders are stored.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we make use of those and the shelving out there, we can get rid of the sticker table and open up the bay there a little bit more. Yep,
that's one of the ideas.
And then there's
a desk by the radio area. And then I was thinking to move that out of there and push the toolboxes all the way back against the wall.
Oh, that's a good move. Yeah. I think that'll help out a lot. Mm-hmm. So
it'll open that area up. What I liked about the toolboxes is it kind of made a working, like a work area.
Yeah.
But I think that we could open that up a little bit.
Yeah. Cool. So. I think there's lots of options and we'll be able to start working on that and hopefully get the shop set up for the new years and digging into Samantha. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So cool, man. Let's get over to what we did this weekend.
Okay.
So we went out to a really fun event that was put on by Hella Trails, the Hella Trails group, and SFO Adventures.
Yes.
We're kind of the main two parties coordinating and putting this whole thing together. It was a really fun toy drive.
Yeah.
Out in Oakland, and it's supposed to be for like all of Northern California, right?
Mm-hmm.
For off-roaders all across Northern California, and they do it in the East Bay just because it's the most central
spot to all of Northern California, for the most part.
Yeah.
And where most of the off-roaders are, I should say. So,
yeah, it's a good hub of a mass population.
Correct. So we were out in Oakland,
mm-hmm.
and we went to Old Can Brewing and Company.
Yes.
So that was really cool. They have a really neat brewery. I love the style of the building. It's this fun old style brick building.
Mm-hmm. Old school stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was really neat. The brewery is awesome.
They even had cool chairs.
Yeah, they had really cool chairs.
Like vintage wood with metal chairs. It was rad.
Yeah. They had really good food. The burgers were but the fries were phenomenal.
Well, and I heard their like grilled chicken sandwiches were off the
hook. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even try those.
Yeah.
I just went for the
burger. Well, that's what Jason and Chris had. And they were just like, oh, my gosh. But we'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that. That was funny.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Should we? I think
so.
We
the food, they've got good food options, great beer options.
Mm-hmm.
They were supporting, and it was a great toy drive. And so let's dig into it and talk about, you know, how we got there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're kind of jumping over a very funny story.
No, we don't need to talk about that. Let's start from when we got. So when we showed up, pulled into the parking lot.
No, let's talk about leaving.
I don't want to talk about leaving to go there.
You just don't want to talk about you breaking down on the side of the freeway.
Shh, no one needs to know this. Oh, man.
So you and I had planned to meet right before the Confluence. Not Confluence, the Causeway.
The Causeway.
In Sacramento, kind of outside of Davis, between Davis and Sacramento.
Yeah, West Sacramento area.
Where Highway 50 and Highway 80 meet, because I live off of 80 and Tyler lives off of 50. So that was an easy meeting spot. We met at a Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
I brought the assistant down with me.
Mm-hmm.
She stayed in the car when we met up, or the truck and Bobcat. I was driving Bobcat and you were driving the second gen.
Uh-huh.
And she stayed in Bobcat while I ran into Starbucks to buy us drinks.
Yeah, why was that? Because you came in, and I was like, oh, I thought the assistant was coming. And you're like, well, she's in Bobcat still.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is she hanging out?
The assistant isn't the best at time management.
Okay.
And so I hurried her out of the house before she could finish her makeup. Because she had to look all pretty in front of everybody. Blah, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that's sort of a gripe I have about her. She wears more makeup than I like. But
okay.
Anyways, Bobcat was too bumpy for her. She couldn't do her eyebrows. She said that if I do my eyebrows, they're going to look like lightning bolts.
Fair.
So she stayed in Bobcat while I ordered the drinks. And then she came in shortly after. But
yeah.
And then we took off. And actually, the weather was supposed to be raining, but it didn't really rain on us the whole drive down for the most part.
I was surprised with how much it did not rain, because I was really worried. They were like, the weather was saying it was going to be storming on all of Northern California, all of California,
right,
that entire day. And I was like, well, this will be a fun toy drive. Uh-huh.
I brought, besides waterproof pants, I brought a waterproof jacket, a waterproof shoes and stuff along those lines.
Did you bring your waterproof underwear?
No.
Oh.
I don't have any of those.
Oh, I just wear mine at night. Anyways, continue.
They're called diapers.
Oh, okay.
Depends.
They're very fluffy, though. So they make a great pillow when you're sitting for long times driving. So.
Is that where the secretary's head goes? Oh, wait. So we were driving down.
Okay.
And we were cruising, and you and I were on a Simplex channel chatting.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin... Das Blaue
Taco
HT,
which I believe is the blue taco in German,
so, yeah. Maybe, yeah. caught up to us about Cordelia Junction area,
where
680 peels off of Highway 80.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cruised down together, and did you see his Instagram photo, one of his Instagram stories? He posted a photo of his Speedo and then your truck and saying, "This is what happens when you follow rock crawlers." And we were going 51 miles an hour.
That's funny.
We were that was probably in traffic, because we were cruising 60, 65 pretty easily.
The only time we really went down to 50 or so was when we started going up some of the hills.
Yeah,
close to the Bay Area. So
yeah,
that's funny. I missed that.
Yeah, Bobcat has a weird vibration that we determined that it's probably the tires. But it from 65 to 75, it has a pretty good vibration going on, a resonance in the suspension and everything else. Mm-hmm. When we got above, when you get to like 80, it's smoothed out.
Mm-hmm.
So we were really only going 60 to 65 on the way down. We were doing 60 for a long time, and then I said, you know what? I went to catch up to you guys one time, and I said, we can upgrade it to 65. And then we started doing like 65 to 68, and it was vibrating. I said, all right, we need to keep it between 60 and 65.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, we cruised we were cruising down.
So, fun story about when Kevin was finding us on the freeway.
Oh, yeah.
So, I sent him our location on Google Maps.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of broadcasted it to him. So he goes, yeah, I'm, you know, leaving SAC. I should arrive in Oakland about this time. And I was like, oh, we should be arriving in Oakland about that same time too.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, okay, cool. So I sent him our location on the map. And he said it was so much fun to just
track
cruise
us down.
And track us down on the freeway and catch up to us on the freeway.
Yeah.
I didn't even see him catching up. All of a sudden, I turned over and looked over to my side, and there he was videoing me.
Right, yeah.
On the
me
freeway.
Me too, actually.
I was like, oh, hi, Kevin.
And I was trying to do the math. You know, it's like,
how fast was he going?
How fast was he going
to
catch up to us? When did he leave? How many miles back was he? How fast did he have to go to catch up?
Yeah, I don't know. He,
I mean, we were talking on the radio. It's like, if we're going 65 and he's going 75, that's 10 miles in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we traveled an hour to get to Cordelia Junction.
Yeah. So I think he lives kind of near me.
Right.
And so I think he was leaving his place right about the same time as we were leaving West Sacramento and the Starbucks.
Mm, okay.
So that puts it about
doable.
The same time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But anyway, so that was funny, Kevin catching up to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then, geez, maybe 20 minutes down the road-ish, maybe, yeah, about that, when we were in Berkeley area.
Yep.
You messaged me for the most part, and you said, I have something going on with my truck.
I have something happening. Yeah.
And I said, what's going on?
I don't know how much of an issue it is, but so what was happening was that my temperature gauge was like jumping around.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird because it wasn't staying in one spot or like rising consistently. It would like spike up and then drop down to normal. And it was spiking. It wasn't
right
slow or like it was reading an actual temperature for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I don't know, this is weird.
And your check engine light was popping on
and it would pop on and off, and I was like, this is weird. I have never had an issue with it overheating, you know, throughout the whole trip down to Baja and back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool weather. It was you know, 50 to 54 somewhere right around there, maybe.
Right.
Driving down, so I was like, we're going freeway speeds, I shouldn't be overheating, I shouldn't have any OSHA. I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe my temperature gauge is going out and it's freaking out the system. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know. We'll just kind of watch it and see if it kind of like what I did with my shocks, see if it introduces itself further as
right.
we get along here. So I was like, okay, we'll just kind of watch it. And it went away for a little while and then came back and then went away and came back. And then it came back and kind of stuck around.
Yeah.
And the check engine light stayed on. And we were right about that point. We were maybe 5 miles from the brewery.
Yeah. We weren't far at all.
We weren't far at all. So I'm like, okay, it's, you know, getting up into the red area, up into the 230, 240 degrees temperature range and staying there now. It's not coming back down.
Yeah.
But it wasn't spiking. It wasn't pegged all the way over yet. And so I was like, oh, well, kind of, let's just take it easy. We'll get over to the brewery and we'll check it, see if we can make it the last 5 miles here. And so right as we're getting to, there's a turnoff on the freeway where you have to make a decision and go on one freeway to the left.
Yeah, one to drive down to the east side of the bay.
To go down the east side of the bay.
Or one to turn to go to San Francisco.
And go across the Bay Bridge.
And go across the Bay Bridge, yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, let's see if we can get across. And literally like a quarter of a mile before that decision point, my temperature gauge pegged.
Yeah.
And steam starts coming out from under my hood.
Right. And right at that point,
yeah,
I was behind you. I was behind Kevin.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a van in front of
me.
Oh,
okay.
Like a minivan.
Uh-huh.
Right? Which Bobcat's tall enough I can kind of see around.
Uh-huh.
And so I saw this steam. Well, I saw this vapor stuff come out. And I'm like, wow, he must have hit a puddle. Right, because it was wet out, I was like, "Oh, he just threw all that." And then we drove a slightly farther, and I was like, "There's no puddle here." Like, what did he hit?
Oh,
you know. And then it kept going, kept steaming and getting, you know. And I was like, "Oh," and I think I got on the radio, and I was like, "Just get over."
Yeah,
you need to just pull over.
And I was like, "But it's right there. Like, we just need to go." And then so a combination of right when you said, "Just pull over. We need to get off the freeway. Just pull over anywhere you can," and my temperature gauge pegging right at that instant, I was like, okay, so I kind of had to make the decision, cut all the way across traffic to take essentially the Bay Bridge exit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were trying to take that exit really slowly and find a place to turn off and get on the shoulder, but it's all a big curve right there. And I was like, I don't want to get on the shoulder here.
No.
This is the worst spot. So we all just kind of slowed way down to like 30, 35 miles an hour, put on emergency flashers and traveled in the shoulder around the curve.
Yeah.
And then
100 yards or 100
yards or so. And then right after the curve was a nice big size opening.
It was a good turnout spot, actually.
A good turnout that fit all three rigs just fine. And essentially I get over, and as soon as I get over there and stop, there's just steam billowing.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like white smoke. It doesn't even look like steam. It's that thick.
Yeah.
Billowing out from under my hood.
I think it's good that you pulled over there where you did and not tried to go up and over, because
absolutely,
if you got in the, you would have had to get in a middle lane,
mm-hmm.
and then you would have had, and then the off/on ramp to 880 is you have to go up a hill and then down, and you're on a one lane overpass.
There's no shoulders.
There's no shoulders or anything.
Yeah.
And that's why I was sort of like, you got to get over. Like, we're not, don't even try to attempt to go over that, you know, that route.
Yeah.
So I think it's good. So we pulled over.
It ended up being the right move for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's like when it comes to temperature in your vehicle, I just want to stress that, like, save your engine and just pull over.
Yeah.
That's what I was like, you know, we can figure out what's going on. We can tow you off. We can drag you somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a, that's an issue. But, you know, if you drive when it's overheating, you're going to mess something up.
You're going to permanently mess something up. Yeah. A lot worse than just pulling over and getting out of the way. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we get pulled over. I shut off the engine.
We don't get pulled over. You do.
Sorry. I pull over. Shut off the engine.
No cops around.
No cops around. We're fine. And we just have this white vapor, white cloud billowing from my hood.
Right.
And Jimmy comes running up and he's like, I immediately get out and run around to the back to grab the fire extinguisher and get the fire extinguisher out. And Jimmy reaches under into my door and pops the hood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wait, don't open it yet just in case it is a fire. Cause I was like, I've never seen a steam cloud this thick before.
Right.
And so we're like, okay, we're holding off. And so I get the fire extinguisher ready and we look under to see if there's a fire, if we can see any fire, and we couldn't see one. You're like, okay, you ready? I'm like, okay, go. And you open it up. I'm getting ready to spray and no flames or anything.
Yeah.
And most of the steam is kind of dissipating at this point in time too. And we can kind of see what's going on. And so no fire.
Which is actually another good word of it, or some advice to hand out is, you know, when you open your hood, you're allowing a lot more oxygen to be sucked in.
100%.
And so if there is any like inkling of like flames or spark or heat and that, you know, that way that, you know, this automatic rush of air being able to come under your rig and up or into your hood could ignite a fire.
Absolutely.
As well. So that's one of the reasons we grabbed that fire extinguisher.
Absolutely.
So that was good. I didn't think that. I was like, you're overheating, whatever. You know, and you're like, hold on.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so we get it open and we're just kind of sitting there and letting it cool off. And as we're kind of looking over stuff and we start looking at things and we're like, well, it's definitely coming out of the radiator cap.
Mm-hmm.
We can definitely see a lot of liquid around underneath the center of the radiator.
And underneath your rig, and on your axle, and stuff like that.
On the steering arms, the axle. But what was weird is that there was no fluid on the overflow box. The overflow for the radiator.
There wasn't fluid in it?
There was no fluid outside of it.
Oh.
So it wasn't pouring any fluid from the radiator into the overflow at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, that's weird.
Right.
Because that's kind of the purpose of the overflow is that helps take any overflow from the radiator if the radiator gets too hot. And then usually
it's a reservoir for like shocks.
Exactly. So, and I was like, that's really weird. So I hope I didn't, you know, blow out my radiator, have a huge crack and blow out in the radiator somewhere. And so we kind of let things start cooling down. We wait till the steam stops billowing out of it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, well, we got to open up the radiator to check and see if it's holding pressure and see how much water liquid's in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I go and grab a rag out of the back, put on gloves, I put on my rain jacket and as much protection as I can in case, you know, as I undo the radiator cap, it just starts spraying everywhere and decompresses really quick and becomes a volcano, essentially. Yes. Yeah. And so I'm getting ready to do it. You're like, hold on. I got to get this on camera.
Right.
I'm like, thanks, Jimmy. So, I go and put the rag on top of it and I'm holding and start wiggling. I'm like, that's odd. And I go to untwist it and it's already untwisted. And I was
interesting.
So the cap isn't even on.
The cap was already loosened.
It's already loosened. It wasn't tightened.
Right.
And so I just pulled the cap off and no water came out. Didn't turn into a volcano at all.
A little bit of steam came out
and we kind of look in real quick and you can't see a drop of liquid.
You just look down at the fins.
Yeah. So I was like, well, that's interesting. So I was like, why the hell wasn't my radiator cap on?
What was going
tightened.
On there?
Yeah. So we never figured out why that wasn't on, but we figured the only reason the cap didn't come off is because the hood was keeping it there.
Holding it down.
Yeah.
So we let it cool a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started putting some water into it.
Mm-hmm. So I always carry around water in my rig in case, you know, that's the number one thing you absolutely have to have if you ever get stranded somewhere. So I always carry water with me. So I just grabbed the last of the water bottles I had left over from Baja in there. It was four 16.9 ounce bottles. So I grabbed two of them thinking that would be enough to get water to appear again.
Why are they 0.9? I never understood that.
I don't know. I never understood either. I think it has to do with they really fill it up for liters or milliliters.
Oh, maybe.
And then Americans just know ounces, so they put ounces on there, and that's what it comes out to.
Like some law against going to 17 ounces.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so I grabbed two of those water bottles and pour one in. I'm like, oh, not seeing anything yet. So pour the second one in, or still not seeing anything, and I was like, okay, well, let's, you know, grab the other two bottles. And so I pour the other two bottles in and we're still not seeing anything. And so Kevin's like, oh, I got a 32-ounce Nalgene water bottle that's filled with water we can grab. So we grab that and we pour that in and still not seeing anything. And so he's like, oh, here, I got another one. I have my second one, but this is the last one I have. It's 32-ounce water bottle.
So another one?
Yeah, he had two 32-ounce bottles.
And then you got
We used yours.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So by the time we put in Kevin's second 32-ounce bottle, that's when we started seeing water in the top of the radiator.
Okay.
So we're like, okay, so let's, you know, burp it, turn it back on, burp it, get water circulating, make sure that the water is circulating. And so we burped it a couple times, let the water go down, burped it a couple more times, and then we couldn't see the water in the radiator anymore. So I was like, and Jimmy, you're like, well, I got another water bottle we can add in there. So we grabbed your 24-ounce bottle.
Right.
And put that in there, and that filled it pretty much to the top. And then we kind of let it burp a couple more times, and it was, then we kind of let it settle. It wasn't burping anymore. And it was flowing.
Right.
So we saw flowing through the radiator, through the system. The water was flowing through it. So we're like, okay, we should be good now. So we did the math on all of that. And it was 150 ounces of water.
Yeah.
Which
that's
is
crazy.
A gallon of water is 120 ounces.
Wow.
So it was 1.25 gallons of water we put in.
So your radiator was just empty.
It was completely empty. 100%. Wow. Yeah. So,
yeah,
I'm not sure how long my radiator cap was not tightened down. I literally did the oil. I changed the oil after the Baja trip the day before going on the toy drive, and I didn't notice the radiator cap loose.
Yeah.
So
maybe it rattled itself loose or
something.
I don't know.
But yeah, it's weird. Used up and it was completely empty. Put 150 ounces in it and didn't have another issue really after that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And it's funny because right as we had it burped, we were watching it run. You know, the truck was on. It was sort of holding temp. You know, you're putting the cap on, hood down, a tow truck showed up.
Yeah. Caltrans tow truck showed up and they're like, hey, you guys okay? They're just kind of sitting there looking at us.
Yeah. I went back and talked to him and I was like, yeah, he was overheating. We added water. We're going to be good now.
Nice.
And so he was like, okay. He's like, you know, you can exit right up here and then go over so you don't have to go across the bridge, right? I was like, yeah, I know that.
So that's what our plan was from there.
Yeah.
And So our goal, our plan was, so there's an exit right there. The last exit before the Bay Bridge is called Grand Avenue. And there's signs that say Grand Avenue exit here, Grand Avenue exit only, right lane, yeah, that kind of stuff. So
last exit before last the Bay exit Bridge.
Before the Bay Bridge, all this stuff. And so I'm like, okay, cool. So my plan was to take Grand Avenue up, and then we get to go over and come back down. We take a little frontage road for half a mile and plop out at the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
So I go up, and I take, there's a sign over an exit that said Grand Avenue exit. And so I took that exit. And then as I'm like, I don't know, a couple hundred yards down that exit, I noticed another sign off on the other side of the exit that said Grand Avenue. And I was like, wait a minute, this isn't Grand Avenue. That's Grand Avenue. What the hell am I on now? And I looked down the exit, and it was the bus exit for the Bay Bridge.
Yeah, it was the diamond lane for buses.
The diamond lane for buses for the Bay Bridge. And I was like, shit. I was like, well, I can't get back now, which I could have. I totally could have. But the tow truck had followed us on there too. And you ended up stopping.
When I saw you, it was funny because you took off and you started going the wrong way.
Yeah.
And then Kevin was between us and he veered away, you know, to go the right way. And then I was still in the diamond lane. And then he veered back and started going diamond lane with you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going that way. Yeah. Like, you guys have already, like, you know, I don't want a ticket if I have to go through the diamond lane, which I don't know if you ever got one yet.
I don't know.
So it was this, it was funny because I stopped like right before the center divide split thing.
Yeah.
And I had to go down like this funny, like little drop of a hill,
yeah,
you know, at a funny angle. And the assistant wasn't even fazed.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, I'm going down. You know, we went down and then we popped onto the freeway and took Grand, and we left you guys in the dust.
Yes.
And so typical Top Gear style.
Yeah. So Jimmy left us, went the correct way. We went the incorrect way with the Caltrans tow truck following us. And we get down there and I'm like, well, I don't have my, so they have fast track things, which are essentially the
fast passes
for toll bridges, right? You go under and they trigger that you went under the toll, so you don't have to stop and get cash out and everything. They automatically charge an account that you have on file.
Yep.
And I didn't have that with me, and I don't have the 4Runner registered with my Fast Track account. And I don't, and there's no, I was like, I have cash on me, but we're going through there, and there's nobody there to take the cash from. And so I'm sitting before going through the official spot where they take your picture, and I'm like, well, I need to pay somebody to go across the bridge now. I don't mind doing that because now I have to go across the bridge, turn around on Treasure Island and come back.
Right.
I was like, I don't mind paying somebody, but I'm in the completely wrong place to do this. And there's no way I can get back out. Right. And so I'm like, do I go through? And I'm just kind of sitting there, like looking around with my hands out the window, and I'm holding a dollar bill out the window, like waving it like, hopefully they're taking a picture of me trying to wave and pay for this toll and that I can't pay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And so the Caltrans truck ended up coming up behind Kevin, turning his lights on. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to roll through slowly and hopefully the cameras catch that the Caltrans truck is following us with their lights on.
Yeah.
As a kind of hopefully an escort.
And you're right.
And I don't know if I got a ticket. I don't know if I got Kevin a ticket, but
yeah.
I told Kevin if he ends up with a ticket in his mail, let me know, I'll pay it. But I don't know what's going to happen from it, but we ended up getting through the bus lane and illegally and getting across to Treasure Island and turned around on Treasure Island and came back and made it to the brewery 15 minutes after you, something like that. Whatever it was.
Like that. Yeah, because so, when I got to the brewery, I was immediately shocked with how many vehicles were there.
There was a lot of vehicles.
There were a lot of vehicles.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, maybe Truck North saved us a spot.
Yeah.
You know, and so I went cruising around the front. And then at the front of the brewery is you kind of have to do this like drive in one area and almost U-turn around to go back to start leaving. And there was these two spots up in the front saved.
Oh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, did Truck North save these for us? And the guy was sitting there in a chair. He's like, no, who are you? And I was like, oh, never mind. And it was funny because when I was doing the U-turn, because I have a spool in the rear, which I saw, you know, and everybody's turning and looking at me and like, what the hell is this? You know, none of those rigs have a Toyota truck rolling through here
with a rooftop tent on the back.
This Rocklander chirping at us. Yeah. Nobody, none of these people understand what that is.
Yeah.
With their e-lockers back there.
Yeah. They're probably looking at you like, what the hell is wrong with this vehicle?
I know, that truck just broke. So anyways, there's sort of this overflow parking lot and I parked over there. And then shortly after you guys showed up.
Yeah.
And so I went and when I was driving in, Truck Norris was there, Mike, and he was taking photos of stuff. And so I talked to him for a split sec. And then right as I think you guys were about to pull in, I think shortly after that, Wheeling Wine and Whiskey showed up.
Yep. Yeah, so they ended up calling me like literally 2 minutes maybe after I parked.
Oh, yeah.
They called me and they're like, hey, so where's this ad? What's going on? Where do we park? Do we have to look for a spot for parking? And literally they were saying that as they were pulling into the parking lot. I was like, oh, yeah, look to your left. I'm right there. And he goes, what? And like, the first thing he said was, dude, I don't know what to do. I've never been around this many Toyotas at one time ever in my life.
Besides in a Toyota sales lot.
Yeah. Oh, man. So,
which I want to know why he was on a Toyota sales lot.
I don't know. Maybe he was...
Maybe there was he's a secret Ford Prius for sale.
Yeah, there was a used Ford for sale. Oh, man. So anyways...
Secret Prius lover.
Yeah. He's a closet Prius lover.
That's funny.
That's Jason, the closet Prius lover. Everybody let him know. So, yeah, they pulled in, and he pulls in his F-350.
Yeah.
And so he's like, man, I don't know if I could fit in here. And the parking spaces were barely big enough for him to fit.
Yeah. He actually drove, he parked away, a distance away from everybody, and drove over the, like, bumper.
The parking curb stopper.
Yeah. And put his front tires on the other side so it would short, like it would allow his, because he's in a quad cab, I think long bed you know, truck, and you know, it's hanging out. And so he pulled as far forward as he could.
Yeah.
That's a very courteous of him.
Well, he did that later.
No, that was at first.
Oh, that was at first?
Yeah. Well, okay. That's what we'll get there, because him and I went on a walk later and the parking lot was full, completely full. Like he parked away from people when he originally parked. Uh-huh. And then when we went on a walk to look at rigs and check things out, that parking lot was 100% full.
Oh, wow. Maybe a few spots in the far corner. Okay.
And the person in front of him happened to be pulling out.
Oh, nice.
Right? And he was like, I should pull forward all the way so that I don't have to try to reverse out of this in this with this long truck.
He's going
to
be stuck there trying to reverse out of
there. And then have to squeeze through all these Toyotas to get and make this turn at
the
end.
It was a pretty tight turn to get out of there.
He's like, I should just pull forward.
Yeah.
And so he jumped in his rig, and right as he jumped in his rig and started his rig, like Jeep Cherokee or something pulled up and then looked at the spot and was looking around and then doing something and reversed and then drove on and passed. And I think he actually turned his rig off because then I saw the lights come back on. And then he pulled his rig over the bumps again, all the way, and nosed it forward in the parking spot.
Okay.
So that he could leave straight out.
Pulling forward. Yeah, just go straight out.
Yep. Straight out. So, but, and we'll get back to that in a little while.
Yeah. So, we show up and we gather our gifts, and, you guys, I was completely zoned out, space-minded, right? I was spacing out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to people and saying hi, and right about the time when we started walking up, the guy from Four Point Adventures ended up walking out, and I was like, hey! And just kind of poking fun at him. I was like, hey, did you tighten down all your lug nuts this time? Torque them all down? And he just kind of was like, gave me a blank stare for a second, then he goes, yes, I did this time. And he goes, yeah, I was trying to figure out where I remembered you from. And yeah, of course, Winter Fun Fest this year. And so we were talking a little bit. We ended up talking for a while and just catching up and seeing what he's been up to and seeing how things are going with him and giving him updates of how things are going with us. And really cool guy. We need to have him on the show sometime.
Definitely.
So very knowledgeable about things and just really cool. So check it out, Four Point Adventures. But I talked with him so long, and my issue is when I start talking to people, I kind of get horse blinders on.
Yeah.
And I get tunnel vision talking to people, and I don't really notice other people around me trying to talk to me or say hi, or and I don't know how to break off conversations.
Sure.
And say, hey, you know, it's been great talking with you. I got to go and talk to some other people, say hi to some other people. Because we had a lot of people there.
There were a lot of people.
There were a lot of listeners there as well.
There were. And some patrons there.
And a few patrons. So yeah,
met some patrons and a lot of listeners.
Mm-hmm. There was one guy in particular there, TRD Nugget. Turd Nugget. Mm-hmm. He has a 5th-gen 4Runner and a 1st-gen 4Runner.
Okay.
And so I had been going back and forth with him a lot on 1st-gen 4Runner stuff.
Oh.
When he was looking to buy a 1st-gen.
Oh, interesting.
And so he had his 1st-gen 4Runner there, and I never saw it, and I never saw him. But I was like, that's one guy I really wanted to talk to and kind of introduce and see him in person.
Okay. I don't know if I met him.
I don't know if you did either. I talked with Truck Norris later because Truck Norris had posted on his story that Turd Nugget was there in the 1st-gen. And I was like, oh, I really wanted to say hi to him. And he goes, yeah, he was hanging out pretty much by his truck the whole time. And I was like, dang it. Okay. And then Stellar Built was there.
Yeah. I only saw him I shook his hand and said hi, and we walked past each other.
I still haven't met him. I'm like, really? I need to meet Dimitri. And I still haven't met him. And I was like, oh, Dimitri was there. I didn't get to meet him.
We were both doing our things. And I think we knew it that he had things to do, and I was walking with Jason, and we were doing our own thing, but yeah.
Yeah. And then we had some patrons there, Rob. Was it Drifter Rob?
Drifter Rob.
Drifter Rob. So Drifter Rob was there. I did see Nan.
Yep, Nan was there. Say hi to Nan.
That was really cool. Then Mike Truck Norris got me again. Beer Andy was there.
Beer Andy was there. And finally got to meet him.
Yeah.
And Mike.
Mm-hmm. So we got to hang out with Beer Andy for quite a while that day. That was fun. He's a really cool guy. Mike was there, his buddy, who drives, I think, a 3rd-gen? Or was it a 5th-gen?
I don't know.
I don't remember which one it is. But he was there with hanging out with Beer Andy. And then there was a few others.
Oh, that's a 1st-gen. That mic.
That mic? Oh, a white 1st-gen?
Yeah,
is that what
I believe
that
so. I have it in a video. I can't remember.
Okay.
It might be a 3rd-gen.
But there was a lot of cool vehicles there that I was kind of disappointed at the end of the day. I didn't get to walk around and look at all the vehicles because there was a couple 1st-gens there that I really wanted to crawl under and look around at. There was a couple of really cool older pickups there, mini trucks that I wanted to take a look at.
There weren't many.
Not a whole lot. There's just a couple. But then there were a ton of 3rd-gen Tacomas and a lot of 5th-gen 4Runners.
Yes, there was more Tacomas than 4Runners.
Yeah, yep.
But there were a lot. There was like 2 Jeeps.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
We were walking past this row of Tacomas, and then there was a Jeep in there. I was like, wow, you don't see that. Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Usually it's Jeep, 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 Tacoma, yep. Jeep, 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 Jeep.
Yeah. I thought it was funny walking up and seeing the rooftop tent line.
Mm-hmm.
So on the side of the other building, the secondary building, it was just lined with like 20 rigs, all with their rooftop tents popped open.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, rooftop
those
tents.
Those are the Vagabond Off-Road.
Ah,
those are all Vagabond Off-Road, which are from the Bay Area. They're in North Bay or East Bay or somewhere that way. So they weren't far from home, but they're all, a bunch of them came out. So it was actually really interesting to see their tent compared to a GFC tent.
Oh, the Go Fast Camper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was it was kind of neat to see. They have definitely are different but similar layouts.
Yeah.
So
I did see one guy set up a Go Fast Camper right there in front of the brewery. Mm-hmm. After a while, he kind of came and parked kind of in the middle of that U-turn.
Yeah. I thought about doing the same, but I was like, I would have been a jerk.
Oh man. And so yeah, there was cool rigs there. I really wish I had gotten to kind of go walk around and take a closer look at them all. But my issue with, getting caught into conversations with people,
that's good to know. I'll just start pulling you out of conversations.
And I told Mike that I was like, dude, there were so many, like, cause he took a bunch of pictures, put them on his stories, and you took a bunch of videos, and, I just saw a bunch of other pictures from that day from other people. And I was like, God, I missed a lot. And Mike goes, yeah, that's why I carry my camera around with me. Because that way I kind of limit myself to five minutes or so per person. I'll be like, hey, I got to go take more pictures. And just kind of turn
that's
around and start.
That's, I was like, that's clever.
Oh, that's what I got to do. Yeah. So.
Well, I carry the video camera. So yeah. I actually use that. I was like, I've got to go. I've got to shoot more B-roll.
You were doing a lot of B-roll. You were doing a lot of running around and videoing. And so, yeah, you, the assistant, was doing that. Yeah. And then I ended up talking with Jeff.
Yep.
And Jeff, he runs a TV show on Amazon Prime,
right?
Called Brothers of Booze. So it's a really cool TV show about traveling, camping, doing stuff in the outdoors, guns, and alcohol.
Right.
So I'm like, what more could you want?
Coffee.
Coffee. And yeah, they're starting to add coffee in there, too. Rather. So, yeah. So it was fun to talk with him and talk about the adventures they've been on with the show and kind of learn about the production side of things and the business side of actually running a TV show.
Yeah.
And so that was
I spoke to him for a little while. He was very insightful and he knew what he was talking about. And it was actually really interesting to hear the comparisons between my struggles with YouTube and his struggles with Amazon Prime, you know, and then I was trying to compare them while we were talking. And yeah, it was really interesting. I definitely am going to be picking his brain. We got his contact information.
Yep.
So, you know, it'll be fun to, you know, pick his brain, see what he can do, see if we can do a collab, see if we can get together, stuff like that. We did introduce him also because booze is in the title of his show. We did introduce him to the Wheeling Wine and Whiskey guys. And
absolutely.
They had a good conversation as well.
Yep. So, check that show out. It looks pretty entertaining. He's shown me some of the previews and the trailers for the show, and it looks pretty cool. So, yeah,
definitely.
Check it out. If you have Amazon Prime, it'll be launching, I believe, Christmas Eve this year.
Okay.
So, Brothers of Booze. So, check that out. But that's really like where a majority of my time was talking to him. Yeah. And we just hit it off immediately. And I completely spaced on time after that.
You spoke to him for like a solid 2 hours.
I know. I didn't realize it until all of a sudden people were like, oh, we're starting the raffle now. And I was like, it's not time for the raffle. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
So,
and pretty much when the raffle started, it started to rain.
Yeah.
And which is quite amazing because that whole day was slotted to be rainy. And the raffle started at two or three o'clock,
something like that. Yeah.
And we arrived at like 10 to or 11. And then, you know, and it was supposed to be raining hard all day, and it didn't rain until 2-ish. So that was nice. So it sprinkled a little bit here and there, but you know, I was able to run around, get some film, you know, talk to people, look at people's rigs.
Nice.
When Jason and I were walking around just before the raffle, we went back into the far corner and there was a third gen Toyota pickup back there.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, oh, this is a cool rig. And Jason's like, well, what do you like about it? And I was like, the body lines.
Yeah.
And it was dented and dinged up and, you know, it was bent and, you know, and
looked like a raisin.
Yeah. Kind of. It wasn't that bad. It was like Bobcat, where there's some straight sections within some spots where there's, you know, it's hit a rock or two, you know. And then Jason's looking at it and he's like, this looks like Hollister mud on it. Like it had mud caked all over it. And then he's like, oh, hey, come look at this. And then we go to the back and it has it said shit will buff out on the back window. And then right above it, it had a snail trail sticker. And I'm like,
oh, was that a blue third gen pickup?
I'm like, oh, I know whose rig this is. This is Beer Andy's.
Yeah.
And then like shortly after that, he comes walking down and I was like, this is your rig, huh? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I've never seen it. He's posted that one photo of his rig that I've seen that has my sticker on it. And that's really the only one I've seen of his rig necessarily. And then, the Hollister mud, because I knew he was just down the Hollister. It was kind of funny to put the whole story together.
Yeah.
But it was really good to meet him. That was the first time I got to meet him. You met him out on the trail. He said he messaged me and he said he was coming. And I said, well, you don't need to bring beer because it's at the brewery.
Yeah.
He started laughing at me. But so that was fun. It was good to see his rig. That was like the FJ80 corner. There was all kinds FJ80s back there. And
dang it.
I was talking to a guy about his FJ80 and he was kept going on and on about everything he's done to it and all the places he's gone and all the different types of rooftop tents. And there's this Italian company that was out way before any rooftop tent was popular, and it was used by rock climbers because rock climbers like to go way out in the middle of nowhere and blah, 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 you know, and I was like, oh man, okay.
Yeah, hey, I got to go shoot some camera rolls.
I was like, oh, the raffle's starting. Let's go.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a cool character. The raffle was fun. I actually won twice.
I saw that.
I had three tickets.
I won twice. Nice.
Yeah, and my assistant collected everything for me, so she did a good job of assisting.
That's what she's there for.
Yeah. One of them was a like fuel treatment setup and then a hat. And then the other one was the Baja Designs S2 Sports.
Nice.
So those are pretty cool. I posted something up on my IG account about them and showed them off and kind of asked people what I should do to them. I got a few good suggestions. I mean, reverse lights were on my possibility. Some people said set them up as chase lights. That's an interesting idea. Okay. Other people said ditch lights. Some people said put them on my roof rack. You know,
I like the idea for you as chase lights.
Yeah.
And that way, if you need to get stuff out of the bed at night, you can do that easily. I just don't know how chase lights would work with your rooftop tent on there.
Yeah.
So you may have to set them up as like in bed lights just for the bed rather than like chase lights.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think it kind of depends on what vehicle I put them on.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, because I'm like, should I put them on Bobcat? Should I put them on Charlotte? Should I save them and figure out what to do with them a little later? You know, it's like, you know, put them on Samantha? I don't know. So, yes, too many cooks in the kitchen on this one or something. Yeah. I don't know. But so that was fun. Handed out a ton of stickers.
Nice.
So thanks to everybody that came up and said hi and got a sticker from me. So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't hand out a single Morphlight sticker.
Really?
I'm pretty bummed. Again, I get sidetracked and I meant to go back and because I left them in my glove box and I meant to go back at one point and get them. And I think as I was heading, I was literally turning around to go back and get some. And that's when Chuck Norris goes, oh, Tyler, I want to introduce you to this guy over here. And I was like, okay, sure. And I just followed him instead. And then I got caught talking to Jeff for 2 hours.
There you go.
But yeah, I didn't hand out a single Morphlate sticker. Right.
You didn't even see the guy that won the Morphlate or anything. No. And the assistant actually took a photo of him for you. The assistant is assisting for you, too.
Yes, yes. So, she did a very good job out there.
Yeah. Which we still need his name, huh?
Yeah, we need to figure out who he is. So if you're listening and you won a Morphlate out at the Oakland NorCal toy drive, give me a call. Shoot me a message.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Tyler at Snail Trail 4x4. Man, I can't even say my own name right now.
Drink more coffee.
It's all gone. That's the problem.
So, yeah. What else did you do? Anything else spectacular before the drawing? Or was it just checking out the rigs?
A lot of checking out rigs, talking to people, meeting a lot of people. Talking to people about their rigs, just a lot of that. Nice. It was a lot of fun. Met some cool cats and a lot of people from the Bay Area there, but some people traveled a little ways. I'd say like the Sacramento crowd was some of the farthest traveling people, you know, but that I met. But yeah, so I mean, I thought it was a good turnout. One of the things that was crazy to see is that by the end of the event, they were lit. They had a sprinter van and they were putting all the toys in it.
Yeah.
They had shut the sliding door of the sprinter van because it was so full of toys that the toys were falling out and they were putting toys in the passenger door
around the seats, behind the seats
where the door is.
Wow.
And they were filling that void. It was that full.
Holy crap.
Really, really cool to see that the community come out and donate so much.
Yep. That was really neat. And all those toys went to one of the children's hospitals nearby.
Yeah.
There and then a bunch of the proceeds from all the sales at the brewery, so the alcohol and the food sales and everything, that went to a veterans organization. So really cool causes.
And then I think sales for the raffle went somewhere else or to the veterans too. I can't remember.
Maybe that's what it was. Sales for the
brewery went to the raffles. I know that for sure. But then they were giving the money for the raffle away somewhere too.
Wow.
I don't know if it was going to the veterans, but it was it was being donated somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It might have been the veterans as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really good event. Very well done. Made a lot of kids happy, a lot of veterans happy. It's going to go to some really good causes. A lot of people showed up, a lot of cool rigs to check out.
Yeah.
It was overall a great time. So
if my computer was working, the video would be out by now. But I'm still having computer problems. So that, but on, I'll stick on that topic for a quick sec. Black Friday came around and I ordered a bunch of parts. So I'm hopefully my computer will be fixed here soon. Just pretty much building a new one. At the, so after the event, a little bit after, do you have anything else to necessarily hit on at the event?
Not really. It was just that, you know, we, I was sitting over hanging out with Jason and Chris from Willy Wine and Whiskey during the raffle. So we were finally eating some food, having some beers, and just kind of relaxing and catching up with them.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't gotten a chance to catch up with them yet. So I was catching up with them while the raffle was going on. And then it started downpouring.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of receded to inside and gave up trying to win anything in the raffle.
Right.
Went inside and huddled in from the downpour. And so you eventually came in after the raffle was kind of over and done. And then we all kind of sat down and hung out and had some more food.
Yeah,
and
that's what I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay. So Chris went and ordered more food. And then when he came back with the grilled chicken sandwiches, he's like, wait, I've got more. And he, so, then he went back and he came back with a big old basket of fries and then this basket of, it wasn't carnitas, it was chile.
Chorizo fries.
And we're like, what the heck? And he's like, I don't know, man. I went up to order and I said, I want two chicken sandwiches, one with chorizo fries, one with regular. And they charged me a bunch of money and I didn't second guess it. And then when I went to pick it up, they rung it up as two sandwiches with two fries and then two extra fries.
Two extra sides
of fries. Yeah. And so we had so many fries. It was ridiculous.
We had a ton of fries. So we just kind of hung out there for a while and, and had a good time and ate a lot of French fries. And
a lot of French fries.
It was a good time.
So. Yeah, we relaxed, had another beer, ate some food, like sort of got to not vent, but or what, relax and sit back and
just
relax the situation.
Yeah.
Or the situation that we were in. So that was a lot of fun. When we went back out to the cars, the parking lot was empty.
Yeah.
Nobody there.
Walked back out.
And the best thing about that was Jason moved his truck so that he would leave
and be
easy,
able to get
be
out.
Be able to drive out easy get out, and get out. And there was nobody around his rig.
Yeah.
So he didn't even need to adjust his rig in the middle of that. So that was kind
of. We just kind of walked out and Jason's truck was in the middle of the lot all by itself. He goes, well, I guess it's a good thing I moved it, huh?
Yeah. that was funny.
Yeah.
And then for the most part, we cruised back home uneventful. Talked on the radio a few times. You didn't have any problems. I just pretty much said, check in with me if something's acting up. We got to where we met and we moved over to the repeater in case there was a problem. We could get a hold of each other and I didn't hear from you the whole way back.
Yeah.
Except for when you're calling,
calling the other guys, trying to get a hold of
everybody else.
Yeah.
And then that evening you actually, you and the secretary came and met me and the assistant for dinner at a local brewery up here in Roseville.
Yeah. Which that place is really cool. I want to give them a shout out because they did have good food, but they do, I don't know if they're going to continue doing it, but they did this really cool idea for some bottles of whiskey.
Yeah.
And so I'll let you describe it. You know more about it than I do. So, what did they do?
If you follow my Instagram, you probably have seen me posting photos of bottles of whiskey, two bottles of whiskey before.
Yeah.
So this,
which I was really confused about, by the way. So,
okay.
Because I'd see these bottles of whiskey in two bottles and it'd be like, oh, well, she's beating me. She's further along. The assistant's further along than me on the, her bottle or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'd look at it and it, these would pop up like once a week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you guys really going out to dinner and downing a bottle of whiskey? Like it's a 700 milliliter, 750? 750.
Yeah.
750 milliliter of whiskey a piece once a week when you go out to dinner. And I'm like,
yeah,
I,
why
I
not?
Just didn't question it. I was okay, you guys go do whatever floats your boat, man.
No. So there's a brewery in Roseville on Vernon Street called Monk's Cellar.
Okay.
They have awesome beer. Mm-hmm. They have amazing food.
Yep.
They also have a killer bar.
Yeah, they do.
And a great bar. And one of the things that's really cool that they're doing is they're doing this barrel. They bought a barrel of whiskey, and the company, they it was Dinkle,
something like that.
I guess one of those. Jason, correct us. And and then they bought a barrel, and then the brewery bottle or the distillery bottled it all up.
Yeah.
So they got 144 bottles from this barrel.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that's kind of cool about that is they also got the barrel, and they took the barrel, and now they're put beer in the barrel.
Oh, nice.
And so they're making a barrel aged something with their barrel.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
But anyway, so you buy a bottle, $750, and then it's your bottle.
Yeah.
So you can buy it for $125, which sounds like a lot of money for a bottle of whiskey.
But they do something really cool with it.
But you leave it at the bar. You can't take it with you.
Uh-huh.
And then every time you come in, you can have a drink out of your bottle. Uh-huh. And it's, for the most part, it's free.
It's free.
It's free.
So they're
drinking your alcohol that you already purchased.
You don't pay for the other stuff. So say
you don't pay for your services. You don't pay for any additives. If you get like... I don't know,
a whiskey sour,
you know, they are adding lemon juice and, simple syrup. And then I showed you
egg whites,
and all that comes with it. And the service of them making it is free. Mm-hmm. And then what I do is I bought the bottle and I didn't tip on that purchase, but I tip whenever I get the drink made.
Yeah.
And so I didn't tip for the, you know, purchasing of the bottle, but then I'm tipping for the service of them making it.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And so that's the only money that comes out of my pocket. Like, I could go there right now and I could walk up to the bar and say, hey, I want an old fashioned out of my bottle. Mm-hmm. And then I give them $1 for the drink and I walk away.
Yeah.
And that's totally cool.
Yep.
You know, and so whenever you've seen those posts of me and the assistant
comparing these two whiskey bottles,
we each bought a bottle.
Yeah.
And we are having a playful race to see who gets to the bottom of the bottle first with, you know, being, you know, all within the legal limits of being able to drive and hang out with her daughter and everything that comes with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we'll go in and we'll have a drink or two and, you know, and it kind of turns out, well, she lives more in the area than I do. And so she can wander over there occasionally and have a few more drinks, you know, on like a Wednesday night or whatever, you know, and, I can't. I only go over there when I'm with her. So she kind of can jump ahead of me sometimes. But my drinks have more alcohol in it than her drinks. So it's kind of this playful batter.
Yeah.
So we're actually on our second bottles.
Oh, wow.
We went through one already. I beat her. I finished my bottle before she did.
Uh-huh.
But she also finished her bottle that same night.
Oh, okay.
And so we're like, well, we got to have another competition. So we bought another set of bottles.
Uh-huh.
They are currently all sold out. They've sold all 144
I believe bottles. It. If they had any left, I would have bought one when we were there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. And they're in the hunt of buying another barrel somewhere.
Nice.
They're not going back to the same spot. They kind of want to mix it up. Because some of us, like, I know some people that have had three bottles, you know, and I know somebody that has a few bottles and had purchased one because I knew they were running out and has like a backup bottle, you know. And so I think some of us are kind of like not necessarily getting tired of that, but would like a slight change. So it's kind of fun. But it's really neat to, you know, walk in and say, I want something out of my bottle, please.
Yeah.
So it's neat. And they have a whole shelf up there that has all the bottles and everything and everybody's names and things up there. And then if you do buy a bottle, they know you well enough because you come in and are drinking out of your bottle that, you know, you can't go like... You, Tyler, can't walk in and go like, hey, I'm Jimmy Jett. I want to drink out of my bottle. And they're like, no, you're not.
I don't think so. Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun. And so, I mean, one other thing, I told you ordered a whiskey sour and I said, get it with an egg white.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
And so you tried it. Mm-hmm. You dared the risk of salmonella and you tried it, which... I'm like, whatever, salmon, you know, it's a diet.
It's a good diet plan. It's like Giardia.
There you go. Yeah. What'd you think?
It was good. It just smoothed it out a lot. And it really kind of almost gave it a creamy flavor to the whiskey sour.
Absolutely.
And it was really cool. It was really good. I liked it. So
I love it.
I will probably from now on, you know, whiskey sour is usually kind of my go-to drinks at bars. if I'm just going to be hanging out at a bar and just sipping on something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably from now on be getting it and ordering it with egg whites.
Yeah.
So.
Some places won't make it with an egg white.
Because of risk or liability issue? That,
yeah.
Okay.
You know, like Flaming Dr. Peppers, they don't do anymore.
Yeah.
But, but yeah, some places will. Because I like a good whiskey sour. And that place, in my opinion, makes one of the best whiskey sours and old fashions around.
Nice.
I really like those two drinks there.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I go and order a whiskey sour, I always ask them first, how do you make it?
Okay.
Because if they're going to use like just a a sour mix, I go, I don't want that.
Interesting.
I'd move it to something else, because sour mix and whiskey to me is not good.
Yeah, it doesn't make a good
But if
blend,
you're going to make it with actual lemon juice and an actual simple syrup and then whiskey, like, I'll definitely try it.
Okay. Nice. Good to know, man. So,
so if you happen to be in the Roseville area,
check
out Monk's. Yeah. The bartenders there are a lot of fun, too.
They're pretty cool. That just about does it. I was going to give an update on the second gen Forerunner because I ended up working on it on Sunday.
Oh, yeah?
But we're getting a little long into the episode.
Okay.
So I'm going to save it for a future episode here. A week from today. So next Thursday is probably when we'll get into it. And hopefully next Thursday we'll have some updates on the first gen as well. So that may just be kind of a build vehicle update day.
Yeah.
On next Thursday's episode. So check out Monday's episode as well coming up. It's going to be part two of how to trick your significant others into going off-roading or camping. So in this case, it'll be off-roading, this topic. Which is very interesting because Jimmy and I had a lot of questions with this one because we got thrown for a loop when we realized that off-roading and camping were two different things. So it's quite entertaining. Make sure you check it out on Monday. And as we're heading into the holidays here in Christmas, we hope everybody has a great holiday, whether you celebrate Christmas, Kwanzaa, or any other stuff.
Hanukkah. When's Ron Jamon? I don't know when that one.
What is the Seinfeld one?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, my God.
I know what you're talking about,
though. We're going to get shit now for not remembering it, though. Festivus. So, you're the Festivus. So, whatever you celebrate, hope you guys are enjoying the lead up to it. And, I don't really know if there's too much else to say other than check out the giveaway. It is up. It's in the show notes. So, and keep checking back on it because as we add prizes, you will get more entry options and more opportunities to enter. So, if you have any questions or feedback, send them on over to Jimmy at SnailTrail4x4 or Tyler at SnailTrail4x4.com. And as always, you can always get a hold of us through Instagram. We're always posting updates and content. We'll get kind of a live feed almost on a daily basis of vendors that join the giveaway, and that'll be announced on Instagram as we go. So if you follow us on Instagram, SnailTrail4x4 and 4x4 Toyota Tyler, you'll get notified and know when we add vendors to the giveaway so that you know when you can go back and get more entries to the giveaway. So other than that, mark your calendars for January 4th. And I think that's about it. Anything else that we didn't cover?
Nah, I think that's good.
Cool. Any final words for all of the awesome holiday spirited people out there?
Present ideas, more Flate and Snail Trail swag.
Do you want to try that again? With that, my friends, keep crawling.
All right, are you ready?
I am.
I got one for you.
Okay.
What do you call an old snowman?
Water?
Yeah, puddle.
Oh, is it? I'm smart.
There you go.
I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling like a smart day today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little more like my IQ level brought up just now, thanks to figuring out the joke.
What do you call a snowman with a six-pack?
What's it called? I don't know.
an abdominal snowman.
Abdominal. My intelligence level just went back down.